You're watching RT coming to you live from Moscow, and here's a reminder of our breaking news story. An historic deal on Iran's nuclear program has been reached, and a decade-long standoff between Tehran and world powers. According to the agreement, Iran will freeze its nuclear program for 6 months in exchange for partial sanctions relief. All six negotiating nations hailed the deal, though some issues are apparently interpreted differently. Russia says recognition of Tehran's right to peaceful nuclear energy includes its right to uranium enrichment, while the U.S. insists it's not mentioned in the deal. Well, one country not happy about the deal with Iran is Israel, which has accused the world of self-delusion. The country's foreign minister has also said the agreement signals the beginning of a nuclear arms race. RT's Polis Lior is in Tel Aviv for us and has more.
We're starting to get Israeli reaction, and as to be expected, it is highly critical of the deal that was signed off in Geneva. A statement from sources in the Israeli Prime Minister's office say that this is a bad deal, that this gives the Iranians exactly what they wanted, which is relief from sanctions, while at the same time allowing them to continue with their nuclear program. The source is saying that the agreement allows Iran to continue to enrich uranium and leaves it with all its centrifuges. It says that it does not lead to the dismantling of the Arak reactor, with the Prime Minister's office also saying that they believe that economic sanctions would have been the preferable route and would have achieved Iran dismantling its nuclear program. That was the Israeli preference over any kind of deal having been signed. The Israeli Foreign Minister, Avigdor Lieberman, has also said that this is, to quote him, the greatest diplomatic victory that Iran has had in years. Lieberman saying that the agreement acknowledges Iran's right to enrich uranium and brings us closer to a nuclear arms race. Lieberman saying that the Iranians have, in essence, been rewarded. And here you have the Israeli Intelligence Minister, Yuval Steinitz, who, as far as we know, has come on record. He says, and I'm quoting him here, that there was no reason for the world to be celebrating. The deal is based on Iranian deception and self-delusion. And then another Israeli minister also making these comments that Israel is not bound by this bad deal. Israel will not outsource its security. Now, we're hearing from an American official that in the coming hours, the American President Barack Obama will telephone the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to update him on the deal and at the same time to try and deal with Netanyahu's concerns. The question now is, what is Netanyahu going to do? Of course, he has used a lot of warmongering in the past. He's threatened that he will carry out a military strike. The relationship between the Israelis and the Americans is particularly tense, and it's questionable whether or not Netanyahu will carry out any kind of military action without the support of the Americans. So that is the debate at the moment here in Tel Aviv. What exactly will be the next step for Prime Minister Netanyahu and his government?
Well, let's discuss this further and discuss Israel's strong response to the deal with Ryan Dawson, a writer who's been following the talks very closely. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us here on RT to talk about this. As we've just heard, a very strong response coming out of Israel. So why exactly is this deal such a blow to the country?
Well, that's to be expected from the Israelis. That they are criticizing it so highly ought to add credibility to the deal rather than detract from it. Israel has its own nuclear program that they built in secret with technology and material that they stole from the United States. Netanyahu himself, Bibi, was part of the smuggling of Krytons, nuclear triggers, with Heli Trading, a scandal that goes back to the Neumack, Pennsylvania and Zalman Shapiro affair. They polluted part of the U.S. They're the country that's openly ethnically cleansing their neighbors, so if anyone deserves sanctions, it's Israel. The deal is not a blow to Israel's security or anybody's security. Iran is only enriching to 5%. The sanctions, by and large, are still in place. Iran did get some relief, about $4.2 billion, that they're going to be allowed to trade in oil, but they can't increase their production. And if you compare the numbers to 2011, before the sanctions were put in place, they're still losing about $5 billion a month. So they'll be losing $30 billion in the six-month interim peace deal. That they're getting $4.2 billion back in return is a win for them because they're losing less than they were losing before, but they're still losing a lot more than if the sanctions were not in place at all.
Certainly be interesting to see in the days and weeks to come how the geopolitical situation in the region will pan out. And speaking of that, Israel's foreign minister said that this deal, in fact, may trigger the arms race in the region. So how justified are the concerns of the Israeli foreign minister, in your opinion?
Well, based on what? They've constantly accused Iran of building a bomb without offering a shred of evidence. Iran is open to more inspections now than in the past. They've never been found guilty of any of the things Israel is accusing them of. The Israelis always say the sky is falling. They use the same nuclear scare tactics about Iraq, and they were wrong there, too. Israel's real issues are economic, and Iran's support of Hezbollah, who stands in the way of the Israelis' land of the master race ambitions, not the scare tactic of a nuclear bomb. It has nothing to do with that. What we all should be very concerned about is when they're talking about making a strike, as they've done four times in Syria. That's the real threat to world peace. Because if the child-murdering, home-demolishing, fascist Israeli psychopaths strike Iran, that will have catastrophic consequences around the globe.
But in your opinion, how far is Israel prepared to go? I mean, in other words, what can Israel do to undermine the Geneva talks?
I don't think they're going to be able to undermine it. I mean, they can pay for the U.S. Congress through AIPAC, but given that the Secretary of State and the President are on board with this, Barack Obama and John Kerry have both been calling this a first step. So if you listen to the language, they already have a second step in mind for May, which we're going to see further improvement, and the Israelis are not going to be able to destroy this peace short of anything other than something very dramatic. And without American support, Israel's not going to act on that. They can talk all they want, but they're not going to do anything.
Well, in your opinion, how would the relations between America and Israel develop after this deal? Will anything change?
Probably the U.S. will pay them off. They already gave them $500 million a couple of weeks ago when the French delayed the deal in Geneva. Possibly U.S. arms dealers will benefit from increased sales to Israel, which Israel will pay for with foreign aid that the U.S. will give them in forgiven loans. So Israel will get its money from the U.S., as they always do, and they'll be pacified like that. But the United States is not going to give up on this peace deal. We've had a basic Cold War with Iran since 1979, and this is a major step forward. And we have everybody on board. Yes, they're not enriching to 20%. That's most likely because of the French, who don't want to compete on the market for medical isotopes. But it has nothing to do with the fear of a bomb. There have been a lot of negotiations and time put into this. And the U.S. and the other P5 members, plus Germany, are not going to throw it all away just because Israel is having a fit.
All right, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us here on RT to discuss the issue with us. Ryan Dawson there.
Thank you.
And it will now be difficult for the U.S. to keep up the idea.